Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Independence Day edition. Happy Saturday. It's July the 2nd, and we are dead in the middle of the summer, and we are neck deep in grilling season. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is off today, and I'll start showing a little bit of a somber note, but you've heard us speak of Charlie Jabor's marinade as one of the best steak marinades we've ever had, and Charlie Jabor was Barbecue Bob's father-in-law. And Charlie, World War II veteran, one of that generation that made America great, served our country, served us in the postal system. Charlie was 92 and he passed away this week. So Barbecue Bob is out of town with the family, mourning the passing of his father-in-law, and our heartfelt wishes with them to for a little peace as they move through this change in their family. The man had over 100 grandchildren and great grandchildren. So he's 92 wow. years old. But so joining me in the studio, we'll be going over the before I do that, we'll be going over the marinade a little later in the show, Charlie Jabor's marinade. You can find that on thegrillingguys.com and look under just search word Charlie and it'll pop up and you'll be able to see it. It's a great marinade. And we'll get into that a little later. But now joining me in the studio in Barbecue Bob's absence, I've got Chef Bob Schultz. He's from the Secchia Institute of Culinary Education. He's an educator. He runs their restaurant, has his own seasonings, and is going to impart some pretty technical but easy to understand information on us. And then, of course, when Barbecue Bob's out of town, I always have to have a brewer in the right-hand chair, and we've got the baritone of beer. Chaz Thompson from Schmoes is sitting in as well. So we're going to have a good morning, and we hope you do too. Chaz just handed me the first Pickle Tink Ale, and why don't we dive right into that, Chaz? So tell us a little bit about this, because one of the things every grilling guy does is grilling is predominantly a one-handed sport because you got to hold the beer in the other, and I said, Chaz, you got to bring us some summertime ales, and here we are. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Pickle Tink's something that the boss, Jim, came up with out of his old homebrew notebook. Something he played with years ago, and we refined it into a big batch, and we bring it out every summer. Pickle Tink is a strawberry wheat ale. Pickles were only there for the picture, okay? No pickles were injured in the making of this beer.
Okay.
And it's a very light, refreshing beer. It goes so great with light things on the grill. I love it with chicken. But yeah, I make fruit beer for guys that don't like fruit beer.
Right.
Everybody, I don't leave it sweet.
Everybody thinks it's a chick beer, and it's not, because this isn't a sweet beer. It's just got a little taste of strawberry in there.
It's strawberry, and it's the tanginess of a strawberry.
Yes, it is.
And it's light. It's refreshing. It's it's really bold. And I know Barbecue Bob, he says, it's girly beer. Well, he's gone, so we're going to drink some Pickle Tink.
Right, yeah. I take this opportunity to run the show the way I want to do it. And usually it's Barbecue Bob, and I'm just his grill bitch. But anyway, it all works out. But so Chef Schultz, Bob Schultz, welcome to the show. Glad to have you back. You've sat in the chair with us before. And what do you think of this Pickle Tink?
I do like this. It's got a nice softness finish. So when you're grilling in a nice summer beer, it's not too heavy. A couple of those. I know with my pizza oven in my backyard, probably three of these, the oven would be ready. And you fire up the grill and you kind of gauge it by how many beers to make sure the grill is nice and hot. And this is a beautiful drinking beer.
Now, Chaz, this would not categorize as a session beer, really, right? I mean, we're at 7.3% alcohol with this one.
Yeah, it's a little bit higher than that. It's a good backyard beer when you're just operating the grill.
Right, yeah.
Stay away from the power tools. The grill is fine.
Yeah, don't get behind the wheel after you've had a couple of these because they're a little bit potent. And you'll probably be able to figure that out by the end of the show as my tongue will be a little thick and we'll be yucking it up a little bit. But anyway, today I thought what we'd do, guys, is we're going to go around the meat case because this is the 4th of July. This is the quintessential grilling time right now. If you ever grill any time throughout the year, this would be the weekend to do it because it's a holiday weekend. The holiday falls on a Monday. A lot of people even have Tuesday off. So you got 3 or 4 days to perfect your craft here. And so we thought we would go around the meat case and hit a little bit of the poultry. We're going to do some beef. We're going to do some pork. And then we might even fill in with a little bit of seafood at the end. And between these two guys, they love to eat, and they're even better cooks. So we're gonna dive into a little bit of poultry, and Bob, if you're thinking summertime poultry on the grill, give us your favorite cut of chicken that you really like to put on the grill.
Definitely legs and thighs. I'm a leg kind of guy. I like it because if you leave the bone in there, you're gonna get a nice flavor from the bones. Sometimes if you just put the breast on the grill, it has a tendency to get too dry because of the inconsistency of the thickness. And so I do like the legs and thighs a lot. And
now, do you leave the skin on those or do you take the skin off?
I leave it on. I leave it on because as you're grilling, that the fat will kind of melt right in there and kind of help keep it moist. And I like that. I kind of like it if it catches a little bit on fire to give it a little crunchiness, kind of the sweet flavor of the smoke.
Okay, so for a seasoning profile, Chaz, your chicken on the grill, what do you enjoy? You like it spicier? You like it a little sweeter? And then we're going to dive into sauce in a second, too.
I do both ways. If I'm doing spicy, it's usually a rub. If I'm doing a little bit sweeter on the side, I usually go herbs. Okay. And I do that with a marinade.
All right.
And I've got my brine bucket ready to go. And I'll mix up a Wonder Brine and throw it in the bucket and throw the chicken in there with some ice. And we're good.
All right. Well, a little bit later in the show, we're going to ask Bob to talk a little bit about brines versus marinades, because a lot of guys get confused on those. You just mentioned both of them in that whole sentence about here's how I like my chicken. Now, the other age-old question that happens is, do I put the sauce on while the meat is cooking or do I put it on at the end? Chaz, what are you doing?
I'm at the end. At the end. I don't need the extra flare-up from the sugar that might be in the sauce, and it just usually turns out burned and crispy, and it makes a mess of the grill.
Yeah, and if you overcook that sauce, it gets a little bitter.
Correct.
Sometimes. So, Bob, you're the same opinion?
No, definitely same opinion. And Chas had a great point about seasoning and putting herbs in with the chicken, but I always peel the fat back and then season it, put the skin right back on to kind of keep that in there, because sometimes if you season the chicken on the outside of the fat, you're going to lose some of that flavor too. So I just peel back the skin and then season it underneath, and then exactly what Chas said is kind of finish the sauce right at the end and get a nice pan sear, it's called, a nice crust on there
There's the first of many technical terms you're going to hear today on the Grilling Guys.
I'll keep it simple.
No, that's all good, man. That's why you're here, because if we hear these things, we need an explanation of what they are. So you're actually going to take the skin on the leg and the thigh and peel it back, not completely off, but just so it's still hooked on one edge. And you're going to put seasoning. Do you put it on the skin or do you actually put it on the meat?
I put it on the meat and then flip the skin back over and then kind of act as a seal, because as a protein cooks, it's going to kind of steam in an essence, because the protein is going to be underneath the fat. So it's going to steam and then it keeps that right in there.
So when you put your leg and thigh quarter on the grill, you're putting the skin side down first or the other side down first? Do you have a preference? Does it matter?
I usually start with the skin down.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. I like it skin side down to start the fat to start rendering.
And I think it takes that skin side a little bit longer to cook. So if you start it there and then flip it over and then maybe finish it back on that side, then it's cool. But anyway, so there we are. We've got a little heads up on poultry. Coming up next, we're going to go another step down the meat case, and we're going to hit a little bit of beef. Because this is my favorite part of the meat case. Beef is my favorite item on the grill, and we're going to spend some time breaking down the do's, don'ts, and the whys. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Man, we lit up your world.